And we're live. All right, I'm going to wait till the 30-second mark, and then I'm going to get going. And we'll get in right into this message. Okay? Thank you for tuning in. And this message is, I believe, a very important message for a lot of people, especially in these times that we're living in right now. All righty. All right, I'm going to get going. All right, so this message today is entitled Weary and Faint, How to Renew Your Strength and Not Feel Like Giving Up. And I think it's a very important subject because a lot of people, in a number of different ways, just in general, throughout the Christian life, people can feel like they get tired, they get weary, they get faint, they can feel like giving up because there's a lot of trials and tribulations throughout life in many different ways. But it's even more important nowadays because there is an increase of a disruption of normal life today in this world, all over the world. Life has been disrupted for everyone, and there's a lot of craziness going on with governments and people acting crazy and irrational, and there's a lot of trials and tribulations, and people can get sick of it, and they can feel like giving up, and they can, all they can see is doom and gloom, and it can get them down. And get depressed and get tired of everything and sick and tired of everything, and they just feel like just giving up and don't even feel like trying. Well, this message is for you and everyone that has ever felt like that or feels like that right now. It's to be a help to you. Now, this is primarily directed towards Christians. If you've never been saved, there's never been a time that you've been born again, which is a moment where you have been supernaturally transformed and God has given you a new heart with new desires. If that's never happened to you, then you're going to probably get weary and faint a lot more. And because the Bible says the way of transgressors is hard. And you know, your problems in your life will just weigh upon you more and more, compound. And you don't get power from God to get you through these things. And it's a lot worse, a lot more rough. So I suggest to you that the first thing you need to do is repent of a life of sin and rebellion against God. Put your faith in Jesus Christ. Be born again. Then you'll be given the ability to be transformed and have the Spirit of God, to have communion with God, and your Father will take care of you and get you through these things. But if you're not saved, then I can't really tell you anything encouraging until you repent, okay? So, but anyways, that's the main thing I would say. And if you need more direction in that regard, go watch some of my other videos. I have a video called The Gospel from Genesis to Revelation, another one called The Difference Between a Babe in Christ and a False Convert, videos on repentance. Go back and watch some of those to learn more about salvation. But getting into the message today, let's get into weary and faint, how to renew your strength. So let's start with the verse from Isaiah chapter 40. A lot of you probably know this verse, but we're going to go into this in depth today. We're going to talk about all the reasons that people get weary, not all the reasons, but a good amount of them, that people get weary and faint in their minds and get weary and faint in general, and then how to avoid that and also how to renew your strength. All right, so Isaiah chapter 40, verse 28 through 31. We'll start in Isaiah 40, 28. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary, neither there is no searching for his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increases strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Okay? Great verse. Great passage right there. And there's a lot in there. And so what we're going to do is we're going to, like I said, break down each part of this in more detail. So, first point we want to make is God. We want to always, if we can, in the message, start with God. Okay? And God, first point is God never gets weary and faint, ever. God has never and will never get weary and faint. And how do we know that? Well, we just read it. Isaiah 40, 28 says, hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. He does not faint. He does not get weary. God does not. And so a good point about that to add to that is God is not like us, which we can find in Psalm 50:21. Psalm 50:21 says, "Thou thoughtest that I was altogether such a one as thyself." And that's a big mistake for you to think that God is like you. Okay, God doesn't get tired like us, weary and faint. God doesn't sin like us. He doesn't. The Bible says God cannot lie. It is impossible for God to lie. And he doesn't have the same issues that we have. His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. God is completely separate, undefiled, holy, different than us. And that's okay. That's good. We don't want God to be like us. Remember that old song that woman made? "What if God was one of us? Just a slob like one." Oh, I don't want God to be like one of us. I want God to be holy. The Bible says he's holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. He's not a slob like one of us. He is not. He knows that we are dust. He's not dust. He's the eternal God. And so you got to understand that first, that God is not like us. And that leads us to the next point, which is that man is weak and gets weary and faint. Man, on the other hand, does get weary and faint because we're weak. Remember what it says in Matthew 26:41. Matthew 26:41 says, "The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." That's right. God is not weak, but we are. And we might be willing and wanting to do great things, but the flesh gets in the way, doesn't it? The flesh is very weak. And we need to recognize that. If we're gonna learn anything in this lesson, we need to understand that God never gets weary and faint, but man does get weary and faint because man is weak. Okay? You will never be able to get through and understand and overcome these issues of getting weary and faint until you recognize that the flesh is weak. And as we're going to see, that means you cannot try to do things in the power of your flesh, of your own strength. You will utterly fail if you do that. Okay? And so, man is weak and gets weary and faint. The flesh is weak. Why? Well, let's take a look. Why does man get weary and faint? Why does man get weary and faint and try to, feel like giving up? And I'm going to go over some reasons right now about why Christians can get, feel weary and faint and feel like giving up. Okay, so here's some of the reasons. Like I said, this is not an exhaustive list of every single reason, but it's a good amount of the big ones, okay? So let's take a look. Why does man get weary and faint? Number one, trying to live the Christian life in your own power, in the power of the flesh. That's probably the number one reason. Trying to live the Christian life in your own power, in the power of the flesh. So let's look at some verses here. This verse, Philippians 3:3. Philippians 3:3 says, "For we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit, and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh." Okay? That's something. Underline that in your Bible. Have no confidence in the flesh. And what that means is, you do not have confidence in your power and ability to go through this life and live a life that is pleasing to God in victory over sin, the devil, and of this world in the power of the flesh. It is impossible. And you will fail, you will fall, you will get weary and faint over and over and over again. And you will not renew your strength when you have confidence in the flesh. You must see the flesh as utterly weak and unable to do the things that you need to do to be pleasing to God. And so you must recognize that is one of the big reasons for getting weary and faint is having confidence in the flesh, trying to live the Christian life in your own power and the power of the flesh. Here's another reason. Now, we're just going to keep going through the reasons why you get weary and faint. You might feel like giving up. And then I'll go after how to avoid that, how to overcome that, and how to renew your strength. But right now, it's just going to be reasons why you get weary and faint. Okay? Here's another one. Adversity. This is a term that is used in the Bible. Adversity. Strength is not known until it is tested by adversity. Okay? So you can try to think in your mind that you are a strong Christian. And you have strong faith. And you are spiritually a strong, walking with God, spiritually strong. But until it's tested by adversity, then we don't really know. Then it'll be really be revealed. And the Bible says that in Proverbs chapter 24, verse 10. Proverbs 24, 10 says, "If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small." And that's a fact. Because, like I said, anyone can boast. You can say all you want. You can draw nigh to God with your lips. But if your heart is far from Him, and you're putting your, and you're actually just putting all your strength and confidence in the flesh, when adversity comes, it will be revealed. And you will faint. You will fall. You will feel weary. You will feel like giving up. And that is a sign that your strength is small. Your spiritual strength, because you have been putting confidence in yourself and in the flesh. And here's three different reasons why you may faint in the day of adversity. You may faint in the day of adversity because you were presumptuous, and thought the day of prosperity would continue. Okay, so that's one point. Things are going good, right? Let's say things are good. This is the day of prosperity. You have things, everything that you need. There's not really any trials and tribulations. And you have this presumption that things are just going to keep going that way. And then one day, all of a sudden, the rug is pulled out from under you. And now you're in the day of adversity. And you start getting weary and faint and feel like giving up because you were presumptuous. You thought this time of prosperity and the good times are just going to keep on rolling. Well, you thought wrong. You thought absolutely wrong, and now you need to reconsider your mentality. Here's the next reason you may faint in the day of adversity, because you forgot God was in control of adversity and prosperity, and you depend on Him completely. God is in control of all events throughout your life and every event in the whole world. He controls when there's a time of prosperity, when there's a time of prosperity, and how they go back and forth, back to back, in sequence of each other. And God is in control of all of that. You are not in control of that. When you see that, okay, things could be going good, and then all of a sudden there's adversity, and now everything, there's a lot of trouble. Once you see that God is in control of all those circumstances that are outside of your control, all you can do is see that you depend on God completely. And there's only a very limited amount of things that you can do to control your circumstances about whether you have the day of adversity or day of prosperity. You depend on God. And then you may faint in the day of adversity because you did not respond properly by considering your ways. Okay? And that's what God says in Haggai 1:5. Haggai 1:5. He says, consider your ways. And it says that in this passage, let me read this passage from Ecclesiastes. Okay? Because remember how it says, if thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small? Okay? Now it talks about day of adversity and the day of prosperity in Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes 7:14. Check this out. Ecclesiastes 7:14 says, in the day of prosperity, be joyful. But in the day of adversity, consider. God also hath set the one over against the other to the end that man should find nothing after him. Okay? And that covers, this passage covers all the points that I just made. Okay? And when it's a time of day of prosperity, be joyful. Yeah, be thankful to God, absolutely. But whenever there's a day of adversity, you need to consider. And maybe when the troubles came and the day of adversity came, you did not sit and consider your ways. And consider that, is there anything that is wrong? Maybe there's sin you need to repent of. Maybe there's things that you need to get right. Maybe you need to examine things in your life. And when it came, when the day of adversity came, maybe you didn't do that. And you weren't considering. And so you felt like giving up because you weren't even thinking about why these things were happening. And you know, and maybe God, you didn't do anything and God's just using it for a trial to grow your faith. But you must respond properly and consider your ways. Okay? So that is a verse to consider in Ecclesiastes 7:14. Next one. Why you may faint, get weary and faint, is a big one. Focusing on circumstances instead of God and forgetting about God's power and blessings in your life in the past. Okay? This is one of the big reasons that Christians will get weary and faint. So let's read 1 Kings 19, verses 2 through 4. So this is about Elijah, okay? And Elijah, he had seen God work mighty miracles through him. He saw God manifest his power greatly in a number of different ways. And he had just saw God work mighty miracles with the showdown with the prophets of Baal when he had God sent fire down from heaven, which consumed the sacrifice, licked up the water, the dust, the rocks of the altar, and he saw that mighty power, and he saw the victory, he saw his answered prayer in front of everyone. Elijah saw this mighty working of God's power, but then right after that, immediately after that, he starts to get weary and faint. Look at what happens. 1 Kings 19, verse 2. Then Jezebel, after she, you know, Ahab told her what happened. Well, he didn't really. He kind of lied about it. He didn't emphasize the God's miracle. He's like, oh, Elijah killed the prophets of Baal. So she was mad. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me and more also, if I may not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. She said, you know, she sent a messenger to tell Elijah she's going to kill him. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die and said, it is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my father's. Okay, now what happened? Elijah wants God to take his life, to kill him. He wants to die now. And after he just had that enormous victory and manifestation of the power of God and answered prayer, he saw God's power, God's miracles, but right after that, he's ready to give up and die. So what happened? Well, the problem is, look at verse 3. It says, and when he saw that, when he saw, he was walking by sight, not by faith. He was focused on the circumstances, not on God. He took his eyes off God. He forgot what God had just done, and he had his eyes on Jezebel and the circumstances and her threatenings, and then he had fear, and he ran away, and he was ready to give up. He requested for himself that he might die, and so he forgot about God's power and blessings in his life in the past, and focusing on the circumstances. So, whatever you're going through right now, you will get weary and faint and feel like giving up when all you're focused on is the problems in front of you. Whether it's in your own life or things going on in the world, when you're only focused on that, you will feel like giving up. And when you forget about all the blessings of God in the past, first of all, how he saved you, that miracle, but then all the times of God's answered prayer in your life, all the blessings that God has given in your life, when you don't focus on any of that, you just forget about all of that. And the only thing that you're thinking about and you're focused on is your present circumstances and all your problems. You're going to get weary and faint. You're going to feel like giving up. That's just a fact. That's what's going to happen. Okay? Next point of why you might get weary and faint. Another one is people lying about you, falsely accusing you, gossiping about you, etc. Bible doesn't use the word gossip, it uses backbiting, but you know what I mean. Okay? People lying about you, falsely accusing you, talking about you, behind your back, all that type of stuff, that can make you weary and faint. Psalms 27, verses 12 through 14, we'll read. Psalm 27:12 says, "Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, and be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." Okay? So he had his enemies were false witnesses that were risen up against him, breathing out cruelty, talking trash about him, saying bad things. And he said he almost fainted because of it, because of people's very evil, mean words about him. And that, if you have that happening in your life and you're focused on that, then, and you hold on to those things, then it can make you feel weary and faint and feel like giving up. And another reason, maybe the last one. So one last reason about that you may get weary and faint and feel like giving up is you have been looking to the world for help or for an example. This is another big one, and you may not have thought about this, but if you are looking to the world, the lost world, for help or for a good example, you can get weary and faint. Okay? So let's look at a verse about this passage. Isaiah 30:1-3. Isaiah 30, starting in verse 1. "Woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel, but not of me, and that cover with the covering, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin, that walk to go down into Egypt, and have not asked at my mouth to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh, and to trust in the shadow of Egypt. Therefore shall the strength of Pharaoh be your shame, and the trust in the shadow of Egypt your confusion." Okay? So this is what I'm talking about. That Egypt is a type of the world, the lost world, okay? In the Bible. And when you go to, he says, you went down to Egypt, that walked down into Egypt to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh. When you are weary and faint, and you go to the world to try to get strength, or you turn to worldly things to try to get strong, it's not going to work out. And God is not going to, he's going to turn it to your confusion. And you're not going to renew your strength. You're trying to renew things in the power of your flesh. Okay? You can't get help from the lost world. You can't look to the lost world as an example of how to live the Christian life and what you should do. That is absolutely the wrong place to look. And if you're looking to the world and you're trying to get strength from the world and their example, you're going to fail. Over and over again, you're going to get weary and faint. You're going to feel like giving up because you're looking to the wrong place. Okay? Anywhere else except God. All right, so now, let's move on to the final section. We can only renew our strength to not be weary and faint by getting strength from God. That's it, okay? And, you know, that seems like a very evident, self-evident point, very plain, but there's quite a bit to that the scriptures have to say. And this is where we're going to spend the rest of our time at, okay? We can only renew our strength to not be weary and faint by getting strength from God. Let's read a few verses, passages, and then we'll talk about renewing our strength. Isaiah 41:10. "Fear not, thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." There it is. God says it. He says, "I will strengthen thee, I will help thee, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." God is the one that will help you and strengthen you. He's the only one that can do it. Here's another one. Isaiah 40, verse 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. They shall not be weary. They shall not faint. Why? Because they wait upon the Lord to renew their strength. They get it from God. Here's another verse. Here's a bit of an explanation about the eagle thing. Because it says, they shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, walk and not faint. So just a little bit of a description of that. I got a good one from Jameson, Fawcett, and Brown about the eagles. They shall put forth fresh feathers as eagles are said to renovate themselves. The parallel clause, renew their strength, confirms this. The eagle was thought to molt and renew his feathers and with them his strength in old age. Okay, so the eagles are known to get rid of the old feathers, grow new ones, and it refreshes their strength, their ability to fly, you know, zoom around. They can fly really fast. Okay? And another verse that's parallel to this is Psalm 103:5, which says, who satisfied thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagle. So the Bible says it, again, as for an example of renewing the youth, the strength, is using the eagle as an example and how they do this. Okay? But that can only be done by going to God. And then one more verse, Psalm 27:14. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. So this is said multiple times in the Bible, right? Wait on the Lord, wait on the Lord. In Isaiah 40:31, it says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Here it says, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. So more than one time it says, wait on the Lord and he'll strengthen you. But what does it mean to wait on the Lord? That's the question. It means a number of different things. You are waiting for God. Number one is, you are waiting for God's judgment or blessing in God's time. This is one of the important things maybe overlooked about what it means to wait on the Lord. Many people are very impatient. Okay? People can be impatient, and patience is very important when it comes to faith. Okay? Because God is not on your time, and he doesn't have to answer you exactly when you want him to. And that has to do with God's judgment and his justice or his blessing. Because people become impatient and they go, man, why are these wicked people getting away with these things? Well, God is going to have justice when he wants to, in his time. Well, you know, well, how come you haven't answered my prayer and given me what I asked for? Well, God's going to do it when he will. And you need to have patience and wait on the Lord until he decides to do it. And you can't rush God. You can't force him to do it before he's going to. He will do it when he's going to do it. And so that's one aspect of waiting on the Lord. You don't faint when God doesn't bless or judge when you want, in the way you want. Right? Instead of fainting, you know, you get weary and faint because, oh, God didn't bless or judge in the way, when you want, in the way you want. Oh, God didn't answer my prayer when I wanted, or the way that I wanted. Or he didn't judge the wicked. Someone did something really bad to me. Someone did something really bad to my family. And God didn't judge them right away, or the way that I wanted. Well, that's up to God. That's not up to you. And you're sitting here wringing your hands, and now you're going to get weary and faint because you're stressing yourself out about things that are outside of your control. It's up to God. And you need to give it up to God and know the Bible says, shall not the judge of all the earth do right. When it comes to judgment, no one's going to escape the day of judgment. Don't expect to have perfect justice here. It's not going to happen. But in the day of judgment, no one will escape. No one's getting away with anything evil that they have done. Or when it comes to blessing, God will give you what you need when you need it. And if you don't need it, God's not going to give it to you. Or maybe he'll give you something that you need, but it's not going to be when you want. Maybe it's going to be later. Maybe he wants to wait a couple weeks. Maybe a couple months. But that's up to God, not up to you. You can't force him. And if you are getting upset and be like, oh, I can't believe God hasn't answered yet. You're going to get weary and faint because you have not given it up to God. You're not waiting on Him. You're not having patience and trusting God. All right? So that's what it means to pray to the Lord. You don't try to take things, and also you don't try to take things into your own hands with revenge or obtain blessing by your own strength. Now, remember, Sarah tried to do this. Right? She's like, well, you know, I haven't had my child yet, so I'm just going to have Abraham here. You go to my servant Hagar and have a child with her. And one ended up happening. She got mad when he was older and kicked him out. Because she tried to obtain God's blessing through the power of her flesh, through her own idea. And she didn't have patience. If she would have just waited, she would have obtained the seed of promise and had Isaac. But she couldn't wait. She was impatient. And then also, some people like to want to take things in their own hands with revenge. They don't like seeing that people escape earthly justice. So they're like, you know what? I'm going to take things into my own hands. Well, God, the Bible says, avenge not yourselves. Vengeance belongeth to me. I will repay, saith the Lord. That's up to God. And guess what? He's going to do a lot better job than you would ever do. Believe that. And also, God has is a lot more merciful to people than you are. He had mercy on you. And, you know, you are minimizing the amount of sin and wickedness that God forgave you when you don't have patience for other people to repent before maybe you take personal revenge on them. So, waiting on the Lord. These are different ways of waiting on the Lord, right? You don't try to take things in your own hand. You don't get upset when weary and faint when God doesn't bless or things, you know, in the way that you want, in the time that you want. Those types of things, you wait on the Lord. Isaiah 30:18 is another verse. Isaiah 30:18 says, and therefore will the Lord wait that he may be gracious to you. Therefore will he be exalted that he may have mercy upon you. For the Lord is a God of judgment. Blessed are all they that wait for him. Okay? The Lord is a God of judgment. He's going to do right. He's going to judge. But you've got to wait for him to do it in his way, in his time. And as I said, maybe some people have done bad things to you or to your family. Or maybe in the world we see a lot of world leaders. A lot of bad people out there who've done a lot of bad things. And it looks like, oh, they're getting away with it. They're not going to get away with it. They may get away with it now, temporarily, but that doesn't mean they're going to get away with it forever. The problem is, you don't have patience. And you don't see, you're not looking through spiritual eyes and waiting on the Lord. But God tells you, just wait. God, the Lord is a God of judgment. He'll do it. He'll take care of it. Here's another way you wait on the Lord. You wait on the Lord by reading the Word of God and having your hope based on the promises contained in it. That is another way that you wait on the Lord. Psalm 130 verses 5 and 6. You go to Psalm 130. Psalm 130 verse 5 says, I wait for the Lord, my soul doth wait, and in His Word do I hope. My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say more than they that watch for the morning. Okay? And it's talking about an earnest waiting. You're waiting with expectation that God is going to strengthen you, answer your prayers, and perform the promises that are contained in the Word of God. He says, I wait for the Lord, my soul doth wait, and in His Word by hope. Well, how can you hope in the Word of God if you're not reading it? Every day, diligently, in the morning and at night, meditating on it, studying it, hiding it in your heart. How can you be getting hope from God in His Word if you're not doing any of those things? You can't. And if you're not, what does the Bible say? We said that this verse will keep coming back to you in Isaiah 40. It says, wait in the Lord, and He will renew your strength. Well, one of the ways you wait in the Lord is through His Word. So if you're not waiting on the Lord by going to His Word and having your hope based on the promises contained in it, you're going to get weary and faint. You got to be reading the promises, thinking about the promises, believing them by faith, clinging to the promises, and the only hope you have in this world is the promises contained in the Word of God, and you're waiting on the Lord. Guess what? You're going to be strengthened. You're not going to get weary and faint. That's how you wait in the Lord. You must get strength from reading, studying, and meditating on the Word of God, as I said. And what does it say? Psalms 119, verse 28. Psalm 119, 28 says, "My soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according unto thy word." You say, "Oh, I feel like I don't have any strength. I feel like giving up. I'm tired." Well, he says, "Strengthen thou me according to thy word." Have you gone to the Word of God? And you say, "Yeah, Nate, I read the Bible every day." Okay. Well, if you're feeling tired, maybe you need extra. Maybe you need extra. You say, "I read in the morning, I read at night." Maybe you need more. What, is there a limit as to how much you can read? If you're feeling weary and faint, it means you need more. God has many medicines in His cabinet. The balm of Gilead. Go to it and get strength. He told you. If you don't have strength just from your normal reading, you need more. You need extra. Pour in that oil in the wound, and He will strengthen you. Okay? Here's the next point. You wait on the Lord by fearing God and trusting in Him above all to provide for you and protect you. Let's go to this promise. This is a promise. Psalm 33, verse 16 through 22. Psalm 33, 16 says this: "There is no king saved by the multitude of a host. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength. The horse is a vain thing for safety. Neither shall he deliver any by his great strength. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, and upon them that hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death, and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart shall rejoice in him, because we have trusted in his holy name. Let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us according as we hope in thee." Some great promises in there, right? But what are we talking about here? We're talking about the promises in the Word of God that God will provide for us and He will protect us. And now if you're looking at circumstances and you're getting all freaked out, you're getting weary and you're faint in your mind, you're thinking about, "Oh, I don't know if God's going to provide for me." You're worrying about if God's going to protect me. Well, the Bible says He's going to. And it says, "Do not put your trust in a multitude of hosts," the number of people, or he says a horse is a vain thing for safety. What is that? The means of protection. Maybe you have, back in the day it was swords and staves and all these other types of things. Now there's guns. Are you putting all your trust in guns and earthly things, maybe even the police to protect you and all these other types of things? Are you putting your trust in those things instead of in God first? "Neither shall he be delivered by his great strength." Do you have too much trust in your own strength, your physical strength? God can make that fail in 2 seconds flat. You have to trust God first. It says to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Oh man, you say, "Oh man, but you know, what am I going to do? There'll be famines and guess what? Food shortages. And oh look, I went to the grocery store and there was nothing on the shelf." Alright. What are you going to do? What are you going to do to control that? What are you going to do? Go buy a million acres and start farming to feed the country? No, you're not going to do that. You can't. So what are you going to do? Trust God. That's what. It says, "The eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death, to keep them alive in famine." Who does he keep alive in famine? Them that fear him. Them that fear God. Fear God. right? That's in the everlasting gospel. The angels flying through heaven, and he's saying, fear God and give glory to him and worship him, the creator. You fear God, he'll take care of you. He will provide for you. The promises are contained in the word of God. It says, our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. He will help you and provide for you. And he's your shield. He'll protect you as well. And if you have to go through some suffering, it's for God's glory. Many people have been martyred for the faith. Many saints, the apostles, Jesus Christ himself, the apostles, they've been tortured. They've died and killed. But it was for the glory of God. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. But God is not just going to have you die for no reason, in vain. He'll take care of you until it's time for you to go home. And then guess what? You're with Jesus forever. So above all, you need to trust God no matter the circumstances. You wait on the Lord by fearing God first and trusting him to provide for you and protect you. Here's the next point. You get strength by praying to God and asking for strength. That's simple, right? I mean, the Bible's plain, isn't it? There's simplicity in Christ. The Bible says, you have not because you ask not. You're sitting around going, oh man, you know, why isn't God doing this? Why isn't he doing that? Because you haven't asked. You're not praying. Nehemiah 6:9, he says, now therefore, O God, strengthen my hands. You ever prayed that prayer? When you're feeling weary and faint, and you feel like giving up, did you pray to God and say, now therefore, O God, strengthen my hands. Strengthen me, God. Please lift me up. He will lift you up. He will strengthen you. Wait upon the Lord and he will strengthen you. He has promised it over and over and over again. But he said the conditions are you have to ask. You have to pray. He doesn't just do it for no reason. Sometimes he does. God is so merciful. Sometimes he just blesses us even when we don't ask. But he tells you to ask. To pray. And then another point to follow up on that, you might say, well, you know, Nate, I asked. And you didn't do it. Did you ask once and stop praying? Oh, now we're getting into the nitty-gritty. Come on. Did you ask twice and you gave up? Did you ask three times and you gave up? Say, Nate, oh, I've been praying for weeks. Did you pray for months? You know, I've been praying for months and I don't know what's happening. Did you keep praying for years? And wait on the Lord? You don't ever give up. And guess what? It's in the Word of God. It's called importunity. Learn that word. Importunity in prayer. You must continue to pray until you get an answer. You cannot pray once and then give up. Cannot. And we're going to read about this in Luke 18, 1 through 8. Jesus taught this exact lesson. Luke chapter 18, starting verse 1. Okay? Now I want you to notice the word that he used. Because remember, this is how his message is, weary and faint, how to renew your strength. And it says that they who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with eagle's wings. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. What did Jesus say here? Luke 18:1 says, and he spake, Jesus is talking here. Jesus said, and he spake a parable unto them to this end. The whole reason he was telling this parable was to show them a specific lesson. What was the lesson? That men ought always to pray and not to what? Faint. That's right. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. Now, if you're faint, it's because you stopped praying and you gave up. And that's why Jesus tells us. So pay attention. Saying, there was in a city a judge, which feared not God, neither regarded man, and there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of my adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward, he said within himself, though I fear not God and nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Okay, so what do we got here? He talks about this unjust judge, and he says, you know, God is greater than the unjust judge, much greater. But he said, even an unjust judge would simply answer this widow because she kept coming and wouldn't stop asking. What'd he say? I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. I'm just going to answer her, and I'm going to do what she wants so she leaves me alone. Because she keeps going and asking over and over again. And that is what we're supposed to do. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. What does that mean? Asketh, seeketh, knocketh. You don't stop knocking. You don't stop asking. You don't stop seeking until you get the answer. If it is according to the will of God, right? Not you're asking for something amiss that you don't need. It's something that's good. Something that you know is according to the Word of God, according to the will of God. You don't ask once and stop. You don't ask twice and stop. You keep praying and over and over and every single day. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And you keep praying until that answer comes. He said, to the intent that men ought always to pray and not to faint. You're fainting. If you faint and you give up praying, guess what? If you faint and you give up praying, well, don't expect to be, you have your strength renewed. It's not going to happen. God says you don't give up. You keep praying every single day. And if there's something specific that you're praying about, you don't give up until the answer comes. That is the principle, an important principle of prayer. And some of you think, oh, I prayed a couple times and God didn't answer my prayer, so that must mean that, you know, he's just not going to answer. No, you gave up. Because you believed your own feelings and circumstances than the Word of God. You believed it over the promises of the Word of God. If you did read and believe the Word of God and believe the promises of the Word of God, you would keep praying and praying and praying, and you prayed through it. And you'd be like Jacob, and you would wrestle the angel of the Lord, and you said, I will not let you go until you bless me. And you won't let go of God until you get the answer to that prayer. Have you done that? Can you honestly say that alone by yourself, but just you and God? Can you honestly say that that's what you've done before you gave up? Then don't tell me that you're tired and you don't know what to do. You're weary and faint and you don't know how you can go on and you feel like giving up. Well, have you done that? You need to ask yourself that question. And I got more for you. That's not it. Here's the next point. Keep your main focus on glorifying God and helping others, instead of always focusing on yourself and your problems all the time. This is a problem that some people can run into. Sometimes people will always be focusing on themselves, on all their problems and what they're thinking about all the time. Way too much. And now, you know, obviously you have problems in your life you have to deal with. But if that's all you're thinking about all the time, you're going to get weary and faint. You need to keep your main focus on God, glorifying God, and also helping others. You can't forget other people need help. Other people have problems that they need help with too. Okay, so let's look at 2 Corinthians 4. We'll be in there for a little bit, I think. No. All right, 2 Corinthians 4, verses 15 and 16. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might, through the thanksgiving of many, redound to the glory of God, for which cause we faint not. Paul was saying, we don't faint because we know we're doing all these things for your sake, to help others, to help the other Christians in the churches. And he said, this is all, that the goal is the abundant grace may redound to the glory of God, that it would show the glory of God and it would spread around to other people as well. And so, a lot of the things that you're doing, he said, I'll be spent for you. Do all things for your sakes. He's talking about do things for other people, for which cause we faint not. Because he knows through through helping other people, of what it's going to do. And it keeps him motivated, keeps him going. And you know, often, when we take the focus off of ourselves and our problems and we're helping other people, that helps to keep us going. And so we don't feel like giving up and fainting, because it feels good to help other people. It feels good to get out of your own bubble and realize there's this whole other world out there where everybody else has problems too. And that can help to reinvigorate you and strengthen you. Here's another point. You shouldn't ever get weary of doing good and helping others. Helping fellow saints should be top priority, right? So let's look at this verse. This is kind of tied together with that. Galatians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. All right? So, like I said, you should never get weary of doing good and helping others. Doesn't matter who it is. The Bible says you love your neighbor, whoever it is, strangers, it doesn't matter. You help. Don't be weary of well doing. You should never get tired of doing good. There's something wrong with you, I think, if you do. You're like, you know what? I'm tired of helping people. I'm not helping people anymore. Well, that doesn't sound like a safe person. Okay? And it says, as we therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto all men. Now, when it says therefore have opportunity, means you have an opportunity to do it. Sometimes you don't always have the time or the circumstances or the money or whatever it takes. But when you do, you better make sure that you use what you got to help people, to help others. And not just be constantly thinking about yourself and your own problems. And then it says, especially unto them who are of the household of faith, especially unto fellow believers, you should be thinking top priority. What could I do to help my brothers and sisters in Christ? How could I help them? They're the first group of people you should think about. And then after that, everyone else that you can help. But it says, especially of them that are household of faith. And like I said, when you do that, you're taking the focus off yourself and your problems. You're going to be strengthened. You shouldn't be getting weary with that. Okay? Here's the next point. To not be weary and faint, you must renew the inner man every day. Now this is I've got a few points to make within this point. You must renew the inner man every day. Some people get worn down, they feel weary and faint, feel like giving up because they're not renewing the inner man every day. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 15 and 16. But actually we're just going to read verse 16. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16 says, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. The inward man is renewed day by day, every day. That is something that needs to be done. It says, for which cause we faint not. Okay? So we faint not if the inward man is renewed day by day. Let's look at some more verses. Because you might ask, how do you renew the inner man? Well, let me show you a few points. Renewing the inner man means you should pray every day that the Holy Spirit would strengthen the inner man. We got verses to back all this up. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16. Ephesians 3:16 says that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. So you pray that yourself. You should pray that every day, that God would strengthen with might by His Spirit in the inner man, in your inner man. Pray that prayer every day. Here's another point. Renewing the inner man means repenting of any sin. So think about when David repented in Psalm 51. I want you to see the phrase that he used. Psalm 51, verses 9 and 10. Psalm 51, 9 says, "Hide thy face from my sins and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." That's that renewal, right? It's the renewing the inner man. Renew a right spirit within me. And in order to do that, he confessed his sin, he repented of his sin, and that's how he was renewing the inner man. One aspect of it. Another way of renewing the inner man means, this means you pray to God every day that you would put off the old man and put on the new man. And it says that in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22 through 24. Ephesians 4:22 says that you put off, concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Okay, so here it says, put off the old man and put on the new man. You should pray about that every day. But it says, put off the old man and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. So putting off the old man, putting off the new man is part of renewing your inner man in the spirit of your mind, and this will renew your strength. And another aspect of renewing the inner man is, this means you don't let the world shape your mind. Instead, you renew your mind daily in the Scriptures. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Romans 12, 2 says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Okay? So don't be conformed to this world. Don't let the world press you into its mold, conform you to its image, and follow the ways of the world and what they want you to do. Don't be conformed to the world, but instead be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And you got to renew your mind, renew the inner man every day. And you do that through the Scriptures, reading it, studying it, meditating on it every day. You have to wash away the filth of the world and the bad ideas of the world, the philosophy of the world. Get it out of your head. In the morning to prepare for the day, and at the end of the day to clean up what you heard all day, which is a bunch of junk. Okay? So that's renewing the inner man. Here's the next point. You must view all your afflictions as only temporary. That's an important point. You must view your afflictions in light of eternity, which means your future, our future reward makes this present affliction seem like nothing. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17. 2 Corinthians 4:17 says, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." So our light affliction, whatever you're going through now, your afflictions, your trials, your tribulations, it is but for a moment. So that's the first point. It's only temporary. Okay? And when you know something is, you view your affliction as something that's only temporary, it's going to help you get through it. It's going to help you not to give up. Right? Imagine you were running a race and you knew, hey, you know, you had to run a mile. And you're like, I'm at halfway through. I ran half a mile. I only got half a mile left. It's going to help you to get through to the end. Right? But if you're half a mile into a race, and you have no idea how much longer it's going to go on, it could go 50 more miles, you might get, you know, start to get weary. And a mile goes by, another mile goes by, and you're like, man, when is this ever going to end? Is this ever going to end? You're going to get weary, you're going to get faint, you're going to feel like giving up. But if you know, hey, this is only temporary, it's not going to last forever, it's going to help you not get weary and faint. So always remind yourself from the Scriptures, hey, your afflictions, it's only temporary. Not going to last forever. Even just say that to yourself. Say, hey, this isn't going to last forever. Man, I feel better now. I'm serious. And sometimes it's that simple. You must view your afflictions in light of eternity. Okay? So also view your afflictions, and it says, our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Think about, hey, I'm only going through these temporary afflictions, but when I get to heaven, it's all going to be gone, and what I'm going to have there is going to make all this look like nothing. And so you keep your mind meditating on the things of eternity and the future and being heaven with Jesus forever, and that's going to help you to get through it and not be weary. Here's the next point. I'm going to read this verse first. Just this one verse. 2 Corinthians 4:18, and then I'll make the point. 2 Corinthians 4:18 says, "While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, but for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." Very important point here. So what can we take from this? You must not keep your entire focus on the things which are seen, which would be material things, people, governments, politicians, anything like that. Don't keep your focus only on those things. You must keep returning your focus on the things which are not seen, which would be God, the day of judgment, people's souls, heaven, hell, angels, devils. Remember the Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, etc., all those types of things. And you keep this focus by daily reading of the scriptures. Walk by faith, not by sight. Okay? And this is a big problem today. With everything going on in the world, everybody keeps focusing on the things which are seen. And they're focusing on this thing and that thing and this person and that politician and this government and this company and this and these persons doing this thing instead of the things which are not seen. And what's going to happen is you're going to get weary and faint. You're going to feel like giving up because all you're doing is focusing on the things that are seen. And you're not saying, hey, wait a second. The Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Why am I focused on the people all the time? And I'm getting worked up. And I'm getting weary and faint. Instead of knowing, Jesus Christ is King. And He's going to conquer everything. And He's going to come back riding on a white horse. And He's going to slay the armies of the Antichrist and establish His kingdom. And in righteousness, He does judge and make war. And you keep having to, you don't just think of that once. You have to keep reminding yourself over and over again. Because the world is going to assault you every day to get you to focus on the things that they want you to focus on. Well, you need to take back control of that. And say, you know what? I'm not going to sit here and just focus on the things that you want me to think about. I'm going to think about the things that God wants me to think about. And I'm going to keep my focus on the things that God wants me to think about. And I'm not going to follow the world and focus on what all the things that people are focused on in the world. And that includes conservatives. Okay? Just because someone's conservative doesn't mean they're saved. Okay? Just because they're against all the insanity that's going on, maybe by liberals and all that stuff, that have some really out there insanity and some evil stuff that's in your face, that doesn't mean that someone who's not that is automatically saved. And they have all their focus on the earthly things and the temporal things and the things which are seen. Instead of having their focus on the things which are not seen. Eternal. Heavenly minded. Seeking those things which are above. Setting your affections on things which are above, not on the earth. And so, you got to make sure you keep reminding yourself of that, not to get caught up on focusing on the things that you're seeing, or else you're going to get weary and faint. Keep your focus in the right place. Next point. We're almost to the end here. You are strengthened when you are doing the will of God and serving God. Is Ezra. Ezra 7:27-28. Ezra 7:27 says, "Blessed be the Lord God of our fathers, which hath put such a thing as this in the king's heart, to beautify the house of the Lord, which is in Jerusalem, and hath extended mercy unto me before the king and his counselors, and before all the king's mighty princes. And I was strengthened as the hand of the Lord my God was upon me. And I gathered together out of the Israel chief men to go up with me." Okay? So guess what? This is an important point. Ezra had something that was laid on his heart by God. Go rebuild the temple. He was doing the will of God, and he was serving God, and he had a focus on a mission to do what God wanted him to do. And because he had his heart in the right place, and he was taking action to do the thing that God wanted him to do, what did it say? "And I was strengthened as the hand of the Lord my God was upon me." Why was God's hand upon him? Because he was desiring to do the will of God. He was in the action of going to perform the will of God. And so God strengthened him. Now, why do you expect God to strengthen you if you're not doing the will of God? You got to ask yourself that question. Say, "Oh God, please, I'm weary and faint. I feel like I want to give up." Well, are you even doing what God wants you to do? Why should he strengthen you when you're not even doing what God wants you to do? You're not even doing what you're supposed to be doing, and yet you want God to strengthen you? Not going to happen. Why should he? He has no obligation to. But if you're in the way of the Lord, seeking to do his will, and you pray every day saying, "God, please show me your will, help me to do your will, and give me assurance that I am doing your will. Shut all the doors that you don't want me to walk through. Open only the doors that you want me to walk through, and I will do it. I want to keep your commandments. I want to do your will." And that is your attitude. Then he's going to give you strength to do everything that you need to do through the trials and tribulations, through the valleys and the mountains. But if you're just going to sit around and do what you want to do, God, why should God strengthen you? Yeah, sure, he'll let you get weary and faint. He'll let you fall flat in your face because you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. That's why. So don't be stubborn, because stubbornness will make you weary and faint, feel like giving up. You have to yield yourself to God, yield yourself to the Spirit. So you're strengthened when you're doing the will of God, serving the will of God. You got to know what the will of God is by reading the Word of God. Then you got to pray that God would help you to reveal His will to you, and that He would enable you to do it. And then you can be strengthened. Here's another point. You are strengthened when you embrace trials and tribulations and see them as an opportunity for God to show His power. When you embrace, notice the word I use there. When you embrace trials and tribulations, not when you resist them and fight against them and complain about them and wonder and worry about them. No, when you embrace trials and tribulations and see them as an opportunity for God to show His power. And this is what Paul did. Paul had that attitude, Paul the Apostle. In 2 Corinthians 12, verses 7 through 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 says, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasures in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." So you say, "Oh, I want to be strengthened by God. I want, God, please give me strength. Please, God, strengthen me. I'm weary in my faith." Well, do you want to allow God to let you be weak? Do you want to allow God to make you go through necessities and reproaches and infirmities and persecutions and distresses? Oh, no, I didn't say that. I just want to be strengthened. For what? So you can look strong? No. the weaker that you are, the Bible says the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Praise God, the flesh is weak. The sooner you recognize that and embrace that, the sooner and the stronger the power of God will be manifest in your life. Maybe you're putting too much stock in the power of the flesh and you're in the way of God, and that's why the power of God isn't in your life. Because you're in the way. But when you take pleasure in infirmities, reproaches, necessities, persecutions, and distresses, and you know that when you're weak, God can show His power, show Himself strong in your behalf. My grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. Because it shows the power of God, not your power. He said, I'm not going to take away the trial from you. Even though He asked Him 3 times. But I will give you grace to get through it. That my power may be made manifest. And that Paul wouldn't be exalted above measure and be filled with pride. That was a good thing. What did John the Baptist say? He must increase, but I must decrease. John chapter 3, verse 30. John the Baptist said, He must increase, Jesus Christ, I must decrease. Get out of the way. Don't make it all about you. It's not about you, it's about Jesus Christ. Do you point people to you or to Jesus Christ? If you decrease, then the Lord can increase and show His power. And God uses trials and tribulations to decrease you. Decrease the flesh. That the power of God may be manifest through you. So you're strengthened when you embrace the trials. Don't fight against it. See the trials and tribulations as an opportunity for God to show His power. Say, okay, now, you know what? Oh man, all this stuff is happening. Now you should think, oh man, what is God going to do? If I just do what I'm supposed to do, I pray to God, and I stay in His will, and then I roll with it, yield myself to God and say, okay, how is God going to work here? And, you know, when I come forth, when I am tried, I shall come forth as gold. What is He going to do bringing me through this trial? You see it as an opportunity. Not as something to get upset about and get weary and faint and be like, oh, I'm not another one. You got the wrong attitude. A couple more points and we're done. Told you there's a lot in here. Next one, pray for others to be strengthened, okay? Don't just focus on yourself, right? Wouldn't you want someone to pray for you to be strengthened? Then why don't you pray for others to be strengthened? That also helps too. Colossians 1:9-11. We have examples of the apostles showing us that that's exactly what they did. Colossians 1:9 says, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness." So Paul the Apostle said, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you. They're praying for that other Christians all the time. For what? To be strengthened with all might. He prayed for other Christians to be strengthened. Do you do that? Do you expect to pray to God for Him to strengthen you, but you don't pray for other Christians to be strengthened? Ooh, man, did that hurt? Did that hurt? It should. But I don't want to hurt you to make you sorrow for no reason, but sorrow to a godly sorrow to repentance. It should drive you to change that bad habit. Okay? If you pray to God for Him to strengthen you, you better be praying for your fellow saints and brothers and sisters in Christ to be strengthened. And also, you can pray for them and you can also strengthen them with encouraging words. Another thing that was done many times in the Bible. And we'll look here in 1 Samuel, we'll look in the Old Testament. 1 Samuel chapter 23, verses 16 and 17. This happened with Saul and David. 1 Samuel 23:16, "And Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David into the wood and strengthened his hand in God. And he said unto him, Fear not, for the hand of Saul my father shall not find thee, and thou shalt be king over Israel, and I shall be next unto thee, and that also Saul my father knoweth. Wow! That's some encouraging words right there. Have you ever, when someone was going through a rough time, a brother or sister in Christ, did you go to them and try to offer them encouraging words? Or did you just not say anything? And you didn't try to help them? He went to him and he strengthened his hand in God. David, he strengthened. And what did he say to him? Fear not. The hand of, Saul, my father's not going to find you. You're going to be king. He says all these encouraging things to him. Because he was thinking about someone that he cared about other than himself. And he knew he could help him by these encouraging words. And that's what we should think about as well. Not only pray for others to be strengthened, but also to use our words. And finally, the last point, and the most important point, to be strengthened. How to not be weary and faint, and to renew your strength, is right here. We are strengthened and not weary when we look to Jesus and consider all that He went through for us. Then we see that our afflictions are nothing in comparison. Okay? So you turn to Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. And this is one of the great passages that talks about this. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 says this, Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Says it directly right there. Lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. If you're weary and faint in your mind, it's because you are not looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith, and you are not considering him and considering what that endured such contradictions of sinners against himself. You did not consider and are not meditating on what Jesus went through for everyone and for you specifically. And one of the greatest ways that we could do that is go back to the scriptures, okay? And I'll give you a couple examples. To refresh your mind on what Jesus endured for you, you should read this. Isaiah chapter 53, Psalm 22, and the endings of all the Gospels when it talks about the arrest and trial and crucifixion of Jesus. Go back and read that. Isaiah 53, Psalm 22, and the endings of all the Gospels. And you will see what Jesus endured for you. And then once you read about that and you refresh your mind on that, it should make you not weary and faint in your mind, because you're going, you know what? Whatever I'm going through is not, I can't compare it to what Jesus went through for me. No one can compare it. No one has ever and will ever go through what Jesus Christ went through for us. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. He took all our sin and the punishment for our sin. And when we repent of a life of sin, that we've sinned against him, rebelling against God, and we put our faith in Jesus Christ, then we're saved. We have the gift of eternal life. We're born again. And now we have a relationship. We've made peace with God. We have a relationship with our Heavenly Father. And because of that, we're able to go to God and He will renew our strength. But sometimes we can forget. We get so focused on, if we're not focused on Jesus, what are we focused on? We're focused on the world, focused on the circumstances, focused on all our problems. We're focused on all these other things except for Jesus Christ. Well, you take your eyes off the Lord, you start to sink in the ocean, in the sea, as Peter did. As soon as you take your eyes off Jesus, that's what happens. And you can't just do it once. You have to keep renewing your mind. Keep turning your eyes back to Jesus and considering what he went through for you. Lest you be wearied and faint in your mind. Alright, so that's the end of the teaching. We'll just stop there. Yeah, that's the end of the teaching. So I hope that was a blessing to you. You're probably going to have to go back and watch this one maybe a couple times to get all those points. Make sure you please get those points down, because it's very needful for the Christian life in general, every day, throughout your life, in any point, in any time, but also especially in the times that we're living in now and in the times that will be coming in the future. You're going to need to make sure you get these lessons down so that you're not weary and faint. And also one more thing, too. I want you to think about, you don't want to be weary and faint in your mind and want to give up, not only for yourself, but also for others. Okay? Lost people and saved people. Because in the future, when things start to get really nutty, you should be an example of your Christian life built, your faith built on the solid rock of Jesus Christ and the Word of God. And though the wind is blowing and the waves are crashing, that house is not going to fall. And you need to be an example of that rock solid faith. You're not getting weary. You're not getting faint. You're renewing your strength constantly with the Word of God, with prayer, with all the things that I said. And now, you're an example to strengthen others, to maybe people in your family, your children, your spouse, other Christians, and even the lost world. They will be filled with fear. They will be getting weary and faint, absolutely. But if they see you not getting weary and faint and renewing your strength, they're going to say, man, what is with them? Why are they like that? It's so weird, it's so different. And you say, it's because, only because of Jesus Christ, that's it. Only because I have made peace with God through Jesus Christ, and I can renew my strength, and I am comforted, and I have peace through prayer and the Word of God. I am connected with God, and He gives me strength. That's it. That's the only reason that I'm not, freaking out and getting weary and faint. So that's a good testimony as well. So you think about that too, not just for yourself, but also as a testimony to others. You don't want to be a stumbling block, right? All right, so lots to consider. I hope that you do. Thank you for watching. Please like, share, subscribe, share. Go click in the description for all the links and everything, all the other information. And I will, Lord willing, see you again with another message on Wednesday night, 7:30 Central Time, 7:30 p.m. Central Time, going live on YouTube. And please also copy and paste the links and share around to different places. That would help out much. And thank you for all the support and prayers. I hope you have a good rest of your day. God bless you, and see you later.